Kessler underneath center. Play action fake. Looking. End zone. Fires. Pryor's there. Caught it. Touchdown.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Jim Donovan there on the call for Cody Kessler's first passing touchdown to Terrell Pryor. And he joins us now on the Ohio Business Machines hotline to talk about yesterday's game. Jim, and now you had a night to fly back and sit with that game. What's your feeling about this Browns team as they sit at 0-4?
Well, I mean, Nathan, it's the same script. I mean, there's a real pattern to it. I mean, very, very competitive. Work really hard. And I just think void right now of big playmakers, that when the game is kind of hanging in the balance, they haven't got that guy yet that can take the game over, whatever side of the ball he's on, offensively or defensively, and make a game-changing play that's going to put them back out on top and eventually win the game. I mean, they're very close, and I think it's very, very difficult, and I don't know that any of the teams that they've lost to, maybe except Philadelphia in the opening week, but certainly Baltimore, Miami, Washington, have not matched the effort that the Browns have given. But at some point in the game, when it gets a little hairy, they just don't have that player
yep.
that can make a difference and change the game when it has to be changed.
That's absolutely right. Someone who is changing the game right now and almost leading the National Football League is Isaiah Crowell. Jim, just what's your take on Crow in general and that offensive line and their ability to open up the holes for him to run through, which were gaping most of yesterday?
Matt, I have to tell you, he's been a tremendous all year long, and he gets better and better, and he's stronger, and he's now becoming one of those backs, I think, that gets stronger and stronger as the game gets going, and I think he becomes a real handful for defenses to try and deal with. And I think that, you know, just before the Malcolm Johnson fumble yesterday, he made that tremendous play to get them the first down.
Yep.
Now, he had to come out for a blow, but as that defense was getting re-lined up for the next play, you know, they're all on their knees sucking air because he had really made a number of plays that just were very, very tough for a defense to handle. So he really has become, you know, right now, just a tremendous running back. And I just think everything is working for him. His power, I think his conditioning. But the main thing, it seems to me, is that his vision. And, I mean, he just sees things a little bit better than he has in his last couple of years, where he just kind of banged into people. And if they went down, then he continued the play. I mean, he is really setting things up beautifully. And we had a great view of the offensive line yesterday. I mean, we were kind of tucked into a corner of that stadium, and you were kind of looking into the play, and you could see that offensive line really opening up some nice lanes for him to run through.
Yeah, they did a great job, especially running on the right side behind Pastore and Greco, and many cases with Joel Bitonio pulling from the left side, running that power, and Crow got it going. And I know Malcolm Johnson, that fumble, you know, Duke was getting checked for the concussion, and you can debate whether or not he should have had the ball. All he's got to do is protect the ball, and you get Crow in the next play. Unfortunately, a huge momentum swinger there. But now that we've had a day to sit back and look at the one where the ref blew the call on the Duke Johnson fumble, what's kind of your take on that play? Because still for me, being that close to being on the field, seeing it, it's one of the most dumbfounding things I've ever seen when the official ran in and was looking at a pile where the football wasn't present. And that's how they made the call.
Yeah, unbelievable. And, you know, like you said, not many teams could overcome that. But this team certainly couldn't overcome that. And they were on their way down the field again. I mean, they're on their way down the field to answer what had happened just before that. So, I mean, they were really putting together a pretty good drive. And then that happens. And again, now, you know, you just say to yourself, I mean, it's just a bad thing to have happen. I mean, there are rules. I mean, I just don't understand how it happened. I could see now. You know, we were looking at it, Nathan, and as you mentioned, you're down there a lot closer than we were. But when you see players so upset, you know, on a call, then you know that the call probably is wrong. I mean, the players have really the best view of it. And you know, it's not judgment on their behalf. It's just the facts. And they knew what the facts were and what was going on. So when players get that emotional, and I know Pryor got super emotional after the play, I mean, usually you can kind of say, well, they probably have a case in this thing. And, of course, they really did have a big case.
Yes, they did have a very big case there.
They did. And Jim, as you look at this football game, and I asked the same question to Brian Baldinger, of course, another former football player who called the game yesterday on radio, What's the message from Hugh Jackson to this football team as this young team will continue to fight and follow their leader, but eventually at some point you've got to have some type of fruit from all your labor?
Yeah.
When is that success going to come, and how do you stay motivated, especially knowing you're going to go against Tom Brady coming back week five for a 3-1 Patriot team?
Yeah, that's the tough part. You know, that's why Hugh is really earning his money. And I mean, Hugh is really, I think, pulling out all the stops to try and put people in a position to be successful. I mean, I think he's done a really good job with Kessler, and Cody's done a good job, obviously, executing it the last 2 weeks. I mean, those are two starts, and those are two starts on the road, too, where he's had to deal with that in tight games, in loud games. And I think that Hugh has done a really good job pushing him and guiding him through that. But you're right. I mean, there's a point where, you really need to see all of this positive talk about, hey, listen, we work hard, we keep our head down, and all of a sudden things are going to take care of itself. And right now, if you're a player, you can kind of say, well, I mean, we are working hard. We are keeping our heads down, obviously. But so far it hasn't worked. At some point, I think that you just have to make your own breaks. That's why somebody has got to step up here in these real tight moments in these ball games and make a play that's going to turn this thing around, and then others hopefully would feed off of that. I think they are that close. I mean, it's a missed field goal. It's, it's the play yesterday. It's a fumble going in to try and make it a two-score game. And, you just put a microscope on them, but it really is the one play that can really change the whole outcome. And that's what he's just got to keep pushing them to make that play. And he needs somebody to step up, and I don't know who it's going to be, but it's got to be somebody. And as you said, it's going to get difficult now here when you look at the schedule.
It is. New England coming to town this weekend as we talk with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, Cody Parkey last week, obviously a lot of people would say, oh, if they just made those kicks, we win the game. And in that case, it is true on that final field goal kick. What did he show you coming out there and nailing those kicks this week?
Well, Nathan, people that had talked to him in the middle of the week last week, he was very, very confident. I mean, some would say even a little cocky, but I'm going to go with just confident. I mean, he knows what he can do. He knows that he can kick in this league. He kicked very well in his rookie year. And until he got injured, with the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, I think he was still on his way to kicking very, very well again. And so he was on his way probably to being their kicker long term. So I think once it settled down and he had a regular week where he gets to know his teammates, gets to know the people that he's going to be out on the field with when he's going to go out and attempt a kick, boy, I have to tell you, nothing has come easy for him. I mean, he has not had a chip shot yet. And he's had circumstances where the Browns have committed a penalty, and now it's been changed, and it's moved back 5 more yards. I thought the kick right before the half was great. I thought that, he solidified himself. And I wouldn't say just for another week. I mean, I think he really kind of solidified himself yesterday. That it really, all of that confidence that the organization showed to him in the wake of that game in Miami was well-founded. I mean, he did a very good job.
Jim, offensively, Terrell Pryor gets the bulk of the targets. Isaiah Crowell gets the bulk of the carries on the ground. Who are another offensive players? And I know Corey Coleman comes back from injury here in the next few weeks, but who's another offensive player that you think needs to step up and help Cody Kessler in this offense continue to score points?
Well, I think that if Coleman could come back and play to what we saw in the game against Baltimore, that will make a world of difference. When we're talking about playmakers and a guy that maybe can shift a game very quickly, I think that looks to be the guy right there in Coleman. But, of course, he's been hurt, and we only saw a little bit of him in the preseason, and then the game against the Ravens where he just had a bust-out game and had a great game. That's what they definitely need. So he would be a huge help, to the Browns offense and probably to Pryor too, you could really start to lengthen your game a little bit, and the big play ability, I think, would return. I think that, Pryor, once again was on his way to a great game yesterday. I don't know what happened in the second half that took that away from him, because it did quiet down, and then that ball to him that was picked off by Norman was a little bit behind him, and that allowed Norman to get in there and steal that one away at a big part of the game. But I do believe, I really think that, Coleman's the top draft choice. He's the guy that they definitely defined that they wanted after they made those deals and moved down. And I think that he can deliver if he's out on the field. So when he returns, I would think he would be the guy that I would count on to help that offense and really inject some excitement and some potential to score with.
And I think you need it because Andrew Hawkins, when he's in the slot and gets a free release, has been okay on some of those quick hitters. But on the longer developing plays, he just has not been able to get open consistently, leaving Kessler with really kind of prior or a check down to Barnage or one of the backs really in the passing game. And Coleman, I think, will be a big, big boost to what they can do offensively.
Yeah, and I think, Nathan, you know, Lewis, he's out there. You know, he makes some pretty good plays. That's obviously a developing situation. The thing is, they have so many developing situations right now. And I think that's what's going on with them. But you're right. I would have really, when Coleman went down, and I think you and I discussed this a little bit on one of our bus rides or plane rides, and that was the fact that Hawkins really needs to come up big for two reasons. He knows how to do it. And number two, he's experienced, and he should be able to step in and really help a very, very young and at many positions, green, group of receivers in that room. So, and that hasn't happened. So I definitely think that right now you got to go and say, well, this kid Coleman can do it, and hopefully he gets back out of the field real soon.
How impressed are you with these guys that the Browns keep kind of signing off the street or brought in as castoffs? Jamar Taylor, Stephen Piatt continues to make plays. And then this week, Cam Johnson literally signed on a Friday on a plane Saturday from Arizona to D.C. and comes in and has a couple of sacks and almost generates a turnover if Joe Schobert could have just fallen on that ball.
Yeah, they are, they're kind of regenerating, the term no-name defense because, there are a bunch of names on jerseys that sometimes, as you mentioned, we're not even seeing during the week of practice. But, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that are really playing well. I mean, Gabe Wright got in and played pretty well again yesterday. Paya has played well. Tyrone Holmes has done a pretty good job. Cam Johnson comes in, and, I mean, he's just blowing off that corner, and he's on Cousins every time he drops back to pass. So there are these guys that are really doing, a great job, as well as those young guys that are doing it in the secondary. And, I mean, again, now, you're developing a bunch of players, but you need kind of, even defensively, some big-time players. I mean, you would look in the secondary and you would say, well, that would fall salary-wise and experience-wise and reputation-wise to Joe Hayden, and you wait for Hayden to come up with a big play, and, he had a big pass interference penalty yesterday, against DeSean Jackson. So I think it's good that they're getting this contribution from these guys. But like on offense, where you're looking for a big-time player to really settle things down that you can count on to make a big play when a team is driving in a tight ball game, and right now I still think they're searching for the identity of that player.
They are looking for one guy that you would like it to be is Emmanuel Ogba. He's been out there a lot, but he hasn't been the guy whose name we've been calling about getting to the quarterback. What do you think through the first quarter of his rookie season?
Again, it's sporadic. I know he's had a lot thrown at him, but I thought really watching him in the preseason and then really even in the Philadelphia game, I thought that, he was going to be a constant threat and a pass-rushing threat that would get to the quarterback, which is exactly what they need. But as you said, there are junctures in the game. I mean, he will definitely flash at you and make a super athletic play, whether it's getting up in the air and blocking a ball down, hitting the quarterback, or chasing a play down, which he's got great speed and chasing a play down. But then there are, 10 or 15 snaps where you just don't hear about him and you just don't see him. He's just out there. Those have to go away. They need more from him.
They certainly do, and you want him to start being an impact player, but a lot of guys are stepping up on this defensive side of the ball. And, it's funny. When you saw this matchup, you and I were both concerned about the back-end matchups, and obviously Jordan Reed went on and had a very nice game with the two touchdowns, but when it was 14-0, that was the kind of game that in years past the Browns would just get run out of there, and that defense really stiffened up, and it wasn't until the fourth quarter they let up another touchdown when it was turnover, 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 and the game started to get a little bit out of hand. What, does it seem like there's just a little bit more resolve or fight in this year's team? And I know it doesn't translate to wins yet because it hasn't, but it is kind of amazing that they're showing so much but still can't get it done.
Yeah, I mean, trace it back. I mean, they lose the 20-0 lead, against the Ravens, but then they come back and they make that drive at the end of the game. And, I mean, if Pryor isn't penalized, they're down at the 10 or 11-yard line and they've got enough time and probably four cracks to try and get that in and win the game. Okay, that's that game. Then you go to Miami, and, I mean, you know, they're down 11 points in that game at one point. And you're right, Nathan. I would have thought, you know, an old Browns team, you know, a team from last year or the year before that or other regimes before that, and it would have been done. And it might have gotten very ugly, but it certainly wouldn't have been a situation where they fight back, take the lead, and they have an opportunity to win the game. But that happened. And, again, yesterday, I mean, 14-0, that had all the sense of a blowout and just a party for the Redskins at home coming off that big win against the Giants. And the Browns really came back, and I thought, again, took the game away from Washington completely, had the crowd out of the game.
Totally out of it.
Had that defense in trouble. I mean, Washington, I can only remember them really having the ball one time, it seemed like, in the third quarter, and it was like a three and out. I mean, that's how much of the ground game was dominating. Everything was working, but they're just so fragile right now that when they make that mistake, you know, and even though they recovered the ball at their own 9-yard line, that fragility of not being able to just kind of, all right, that happened, let's get out of this thing. And again, I think it's just somebody not being able to make a play right now. But yeah, I'm very impressed with that. That's why you got to give them an A+ for effort and heart and what this listening to this coaching staff and to the coaching staff for being listened to by these players. But, you know, at some point, hopefully soon, this is all going to fall together and they'll get the blueprint of what it's going to take to get a win.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly hope so. Jim, thanks so much for the time. Hopefully we'll be talking about on one of these Mondays after a win.
Looking forward to that, yes.
We all are, indeed. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from Cody Kessler, and then at the podium, Hugh Jackson will be live here for his Monday press conference only on CBD.
Second and goal. They give to Crowell. He's driving down to the goal line. Off the one, down in. Touchdown, Browns. He's in.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. The Browns. Crow scored again. Kessler to Pryor for a touchdown. Let's hear from the young quarterback after his second NFL start.
Like that one was right there for the taking.
Yeah, that one was tough. Like I said, again, our guys fought really hard, you know, and I was so proud of them. And, you know, again, we came back from a deficit, and we were down 14 there in the first quarter, and the guys fought back, and we just kept fighting and kept working hard and gave ourselves a chance, and, you know, we just got to finish. We got to work on finishing and you know, making the plays there at the end.
It seemed like the second half, it was hard to get the ball to Pryor. Did they adjust during the training?
They did a good job, obviously, all day with Trell, and he was playing well. But we were running the ball so effectively. You know, I think we wanted to stick to the run game and keep doing that. And you know, Crow was having a great day, and Duke, and our offensive line did a great job up front. We were running the ball really well, and that was, I think, one of our game plan there in the second half. We just wanted to keep running it and keep getting those big chunk plays in the run game.
Is this just a reminder you can't turn it over?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's something that, you know, I have to learn from, and you know, it hurts. You know, I put everything I have into this. You know, and I fight so hard, and you know, that situation there, it's got to be better, and that was on me. You know, and I gotta give him a better ball, and you know, you can't turn the ball over in that situation. But like I said, you know, it just goes with finishing. You know, we played so well all day, and then we just got to finish when we have our chance at the end.
Cody, did you have a view at all of the Duke Johnson fumble? I mean, he comes out of the pile with the ball.
Yeah, I mean, from my where I was standing, what I saw was Duke was running, and I didn't know he fumbled at first. I kind of looked away, getting ready to see what the next play was, and then looked back, and I saw a bunch of guys jumping on the ball, and then within half a second, Duke stood up and held it up in his hand. And I think the ref was still trying to find out where the ball was, and Duke was yelling, you know, hey, I got it right here, it's right here. And unfortunately, you know, the call didn't go our way. But, that was unfortunate.
On that interception of Pryor, is it still a matter of getting used to his speed, or did you not put the ball where you wanted it?
Yeah, I got to put a little more in front of him, and he ran a great route, and he got himself open, and like I said, that's just on me, you know, and I got to time that up better with him and get it out in front. That's nothing. He did a great job. The guys played really well all day, the whole offense, but that's on me, and I got to be better there.
Cody, you guys had your third starting center in 3 days. Mm-hmm. It seemed like Ryder played pretty well.
Played great, yeah.
So just
what do you think of how he did, and then disappointed seeing him go down?
It was he played awesome, man. That kid's awesome. His spirit all week, the way he just stepped in and was so excited every day and got extra snaps and did things, and he got used to my calls and different calls I made, and he did great. He played as hard, you know, as someone could in that situation. That's tough. And he came in and played great, and, you know, it was really unfortunate there at the end, because he's just a kid that doesn't know any better. He just comes in and works, and that's you know, what you love as a quarterback. Your center is doing that, and, you know, so he played a great game, and it's just unfortunate what happened there at the end.
Did you get a chance at all to talk to Robert Griffin this week? Maybe, you know, get some encouragement from him, some things to look for?
Yeah, Robert's been great with me the whole time since he's been out. And then obviously when Josh went down, both of them have been awesome. But, you know, Robert was just, you know, giving me pointers here and there, and, hey, you know, it's going to be loud here, and this situation might be a little bit louder, and what to expect from them on defense, and what they do well, what they don't do well, different things like that. But he's been great this whole process, even since last week when I became the starter. He's been great, you know, helping me out.
We haven't seen Malcolm Johnson carry the ball until that one unfortunate play. How often did you guys practice with him?
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm would get in there at practice and get carries, but, you know, I think, you know, Crow was a little banged up, and Duke was a little banged up at that point, so Malcolm came in and you know, he made a great run and just, you know, unfortunate turn there, but no, he plays, he does so much, you know, that doesn't get recognized, you know, as a fullback, and he's a great player, you know, and he helps me a ton too, and I have a ton of confidence in him, and he has a ton of confidence in me, and it was just unfortunate, you know, the situation happened, and that's on them. They got a good job, they got a hand on the ball, but Malcolm is you know, a great player, and he does a great job.
Was this game, how different was it for you, your second time around?
Yeah, I think obviously it started a little better. I was a little more comfortable coming out there and knowing what to expect, and you know, it just, but I mean, it hurts as bad as the last one, you know, and that it just hurts, and, you know, I love the team, and they've been great to me, and they've kind of welcomed me with open arms these last 2 weeks, and you know, I care so much about these guys and in the city and everything. That's why, you know, it really hurts me, because I put everything I can into that, and as does everyone else on the team. You know, these guys are awesome, and there's no one else I'd rather be playing with. But I think that's why it hurts, you know, and you see the guys that get so upset at the end, because, you know, we work so hard, and we just got to do a better job of finishing, and you know, we got to eliminate those mistakes.
Cody, you can see that Jarrell Worth was really upset after the call on the Duke Johnson fumble recovery. You know, he's such a passionate guy. Mm-hmm. Could you tell how upset he was after the game?
Yeah, I think we all were on that call, you know, unfortunately. But, you know, that was a call that was made, and there's nothing we can do about it, so we just had to move on. And, you know, Terrell is a great player. You know, he really is, and he's helped me out a ton. And he just loves the game. You know, he loves to compete, and he's just a true competitor. And, I mean, yeah, he can get, you know, a little emotional here and there, but that's what you love in a guy. You know, he loves the game, and he wants to win, you know, as bad as the next guy. And he really just puts everything he has into it. But, you know, I think that just shows the type of player he is. You know, he puts everything he has on the field.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you, yes.
That's Cody Kessler talking at the podium after yesterday's game. When we return on CBD, we'll have Hugh Jackson live here in Berea with his Monday press conference.
Second and 10. Duke Johnson in the backfield. They're going to run a draw. They give it to Duke Johnson. Johnson right side 40. He's to the 35. He's to the 34. And that's the end of the game here today.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm. Don't forget, on radio Wednesday nights, it's the preview show on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Ken Carmen, Gerard Cherry. Thursday nights at 7, it's myself and Ken Carmen on the Hugh Jackson Show. We also have the Hugh Jackson Show on TV that night as well on News Channel 5, which features myself, a play walkthrough, Matt Wilhelm and Terrell Pryor this week.
Yes.
Dustin Fox with a player interview, and we'll have the head coach of your Cleveland Browns working the All-22 on the big board as well. So that's where you get to during the week. Wednesday night at 7 on the radio, Thursday night at 7 on the radio and on TV, News Channel 5 for all your Browns coverage. Hugh Jackson, we just saw him walk by us on his way down to the podium for his Monday press conference. Should have an injury update on Austin Ryder, but the early word is that he will not be able able to return this season, torn ACL on that leg. And I saw what happened, kind of got bent back on a pass play on it was, I think it was either the last drive or the second to last drive. Just kind of got caught underneath him and he fell back over it. And that was his last play in the game. But I thought he did a great job for the Browns. And I think it just goes to show this line has been, I would say, you know, obviously Austin Pastore had his problems in week number three with Miami. We all know that.
Cam Irving struggled in week one.
But Cam Irving struggled. But I'm saying the last 2 weeks, the interior, when correct. it was Betonio, who's playing at a Pro Bowl level, and is good. I wouldn't be surprised if he's an All-Pro this year. When it was Betonio, Greco, Bailey, the interior was great running the football. And this week, when it was Betonio, Ryder, Greco, also excellent. It'll be interesting to see, where does Cam Irving fit in if and when he is healthy? Does he fit in? Well, what do we do now?
I think
Bailey served his punishment for his foolishness.
So Greco
back
to center, Bailey in at guard, to Pastore. And then what happens when Irving is healthy?
That's what I'm saying. I think that's a question. If this line continues to perform at a high level, you have no snap issues. Does he come right back into that center position? I think that's going to be a tough decision for the man who's at the podium right now for his Monday press conference. Here is your head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson.
All right, how's everybody? Well, we're a quarter away through the season, and obviously not in a position that I thought we'd be in, but we've earned what we have, and we're an 0-4 football team. We understand that. Again, I thought our guys still continue to fight extremely hard. I think our lesson to take away from yesterday's game was turnovers. You know, something I've talked about since the day I walked in here. We got to make sure we take care of the ball, and we got to get the ball away from the other team. And we didn't do that very well as a football team yesterday. I think on offense, we had three consecutive turnovers in a row. And I thought the first one kind of started to turn the tide a little bit. And so, again, lessons to be learned. There's continual lessons for a football team as we move forward. But at the same time, I like some of the things we're doing. I think we're running the ball better. And I still think there's a lot that we still leave out there. So we're going to continue to work at that. I think on defense, I think our guys did a good job of covering, you know, for the most part. I mean, to hold that offense to, I think it was 180 yards passing or something like that, I thought was outstanding. But on the other side of that, we got to still play the run better. I thought they ran the ball at us better than we've had the ball run at us all year. So we still got some work to do. We understand that. Our guys are more determined than ever. Just seeing them today and talking to them. Nobody's going to back down from the challenge. We understand the hole we've dug ourselves, but we know how to get out of it. We just got to keep working at it and continue to improve. And, again, to a man, everybody walks in this building ready to go. We're not going to blink, but we understand where we are, and I do too. And so we're going to fight our way out of it.
How'd you come out injury-wise?
Well, I think Austin, obviously, I think he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Randall Telfer, I think is one of those high ankle sprains, so we'll deal with that as we move forward. And then other than that, some good news. I think Carl Nassib will do some work this week. We'll hope to get him back. And I think his work will be ramped up a little bit. So hopefully we'll start getting some guys back here because we need them. But obviously those Austin's was a huge injury yesterday. And again, Randall, because Randall's been doing such a good job. So, but again, you know, we'll keep moving forward and continue to put whoever's the next guy up in those positions.
You acknowledged before the year started how difficult it would be to balance seeing young players make progress and what the standings and the scoreboard.
Absolutely.
Is it as difficult as you'd imagine?
I didn't think it'd be this difficult. It's tough, but we are. I'm seeing a lot of the young guys improve. We're just not seeing what I want to see and what the team wants to see on the other side of the ledger. You know, we think we've been there for the last 3 weeks. You know, obviously the Philadelphia game was the first game of the year. I didn't think I did a good enough job. You know, but I thought over the last 3 weeks, our guys have been in position to have a chance to win the game, and that's a good thing. That's a bad thing. You know, the good thing is our guys are fighting hard and putting themselves in position, you know, for a chance to win. The bad part of that is we're doing things that you have to improve at to win in the National Football League, whether it's turnovers or mistake here, mistake there. Those are the things that do get you beat. So, again, we got to continue to learn and grow from these things so that we can get better. I mean, again, I can tell you that tomorrow, you know, because we'll, as you know, we'll do everything we can to see if we can improve in that area. And if not, obviously Greco would be the first guy up at that spot. But again, we'll look around and see what we can do and then kind of go from there.
Is Alan Bailey's punishment over?
Yes, I don't hold grudges. You know, once we make a decision and talk, we move on from things, you know, but we're going to do things right. You know, I think my point is that there's consequences to anything and everything you do within our building. And so I think Alvin understands that, but we had a good talk and we'll move forward from there.
Does that mean Cam Irving is not ready to go this week?
Yeah, I don't think Cam will be back this week at all. Josh, yeah, I think both those guys will definitely still be down this week.
It seems that, you know, there's a new center, a new guard. You have to shuffle guys.
Oh, it's tough, but that's the National Football League. You know, again, no one's going to feel sorry for our circumstances, you know, and I get it. But your question, is it tough? Yeah, it's tough, but we got to find a way. We've been doing it every week since we started. You know, whether it's been the quarterback or the shuffle of the line or receiver or here or there, you know, we still continue to go out and fight, and I think that's a good thing. And I think we'll grow and learn from all of these experiences that we're having right now to be better in the future.
What do you think it's going to take to get over that hump? Is it just a matter of somebody making a play to keep time?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think it's us playing better, you know, in those critical moments. You know, don't do things, do intelligent things that good football teams do that give themselves a chance to win, and players making plays in those situations. So, I think all of those things will factor in, but there's no question in my mind it's going to happen. You know, when it's going to happen, you know, I don't know, but I know it's going to happen. So I feel good about that.
Can you talk about how much work you give Malcolm Johnson running the ball in practice?
Oh, he gets work. I mean, he gets enough work for me to trust him and say, Malcolm, go in there and carry this ball. You know, again, I know everybody wants to make a big point about the fullback here carrying the ball and it was his first carry. It was his first carry in a game. Got it. Okay, but I trust Malcolm. Malcolm's one of our 11 starters, 12, 13 starters, however you want to term it, on our offensive football team. And he's practiced, you know, and like I said yesterday, he's a paid professional athlete that can carry the football. And we've conditioned him to do that, to go back there and run the ball and pass protect if need be, because that's the way injuries are. You know, sometimes you just got to put guys back there. So I trusted him in that situation to go do a job. We didn't get it done. So, I mean, I know there's a lot open to be second-guessed because he plays fullback and, oh, he never carries a ball. I get all that. But at the same time, I made a decision. It was my decision. I handed him the ball. We fumbled it. Okay? So that didn't lose the game. It turned the game. But I don't think that one play lost the game for us.
A lot of times coaches, after a play like that, are reluctant to go back to whatever player made that mistake.
I'm sorry?
A lot of times coaches are reluctant to go back to a player mm-hmm. who made a mistake like Malcolm Johnson, especially when it's rarely used. So what's your stance on giving him the ball?
Well, I'm not going to say I'm never going to give it to him, but if our players are up and going, if Crow hadn't have made the run he made to get us to a first down where he was exhausted, and if Duke wasn't being checked for a concussion, we wouldn't even be having this discussion, you know, so those things are going to happen. So I made a choice and decision to put Malcolm in there and hand him the ball. So I might make the same decision again in the future. I may not. Might not need to. So we'll just kind of take it as it comes.
Do you have any more clarity from watching the video of Duke Johnson?
Gosh. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what I think. You know, obviously, as I talked to Sarah, I forget what her last name is, Sarah, who was on the sideline because she knew the play was being reviewed upstairs and they have the thing that calls down. And when she told me, she said, Coach, it's been reviewed. I got the signal that it is a turnover. So I can't challenge it anyway. You know, I know people want me to jump on the officials right there and run on the field and go bananas and all that. But what is that going to do? I'm not going to let my team ever see me lose it like that. I don't think that was what was important. Obviously, we'll, you know, turn that in and the league will make their determination. But again, they're trying to do the best job that they can, too. And maybe some things, you know, look close and maybe at a different time frame, it might look different. But, you know, it looked awfully close to us. And, you know, obviously Duke had the ball when he got up. It seemed like a bang-bang play. You know, it was a fumble, and then boom, we had the ball. But that's not the way they judge it, so we have to go with their decision.
You were very emphatic after the game to say we can't drop the ball. We got to hold on to the ball.
No question.
The players were, too. Is that a point you're trying to get across? We can't blame anyone?
Absolutely. You can't. I mean, at the end of the day, it's our responsibility to hold on to the ball. You know, we can't give and put people in a situation to hold judgment for our future. You know what I mean? We get to control that. Don't turn it over. You don't turn it over, then there's never anybody second-guessing or asking this or asking that. You know, Malcolm, don't fumble the ball. You guys are not asking me this question. You know, if Duke doesn't fumble the ball, we're not talking about the officiating. So let's do our part. Our part is to hold on to the ball, and we got to do that better. It was a scrum, yeah.
And you couldn't, I couldn't see actually who corralled the ball at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have something on your coach's tapes that shows Duke actually?
On the video, it looks like pretty bang bang to me, like he's tackled. The ball comes out. I could clearly see the ball come out. I'm standing right there next to it. And the ball goes down, and I can see them scuffling for the ball. And as the scuffle is ensuing, he's holding the ball up. He stands up and holds the ball up as if, you know, he did fumble it. He went and got the ball back and was holding the ball up. But I don't think that that's the way it was interpreted upstairs, you know, and from the camera view that they had. So, again, let me make this clear. I couldn't challenge the call. You know, that's made upstairs, you know. And, again, she was very clear that, hey, Hugh, you know, we got the signal. It's Washington's ball, you know, and obviously it was disappointing, but at the same time, I can't change the call. That's the call that's made.
Beginning, you said quarter of the season, and we're obviously not in the position I thought we'd be in.
Absolutely.
I mean, realistically, I've never seen a team with 18 rookies before and 29 second years or less. I mean, what were your expectations?
You know, Tony, and I respect that question. This is my expectation. I'm never going to change from the day I came here. I expect to win. And the last three games, I would hope, showed you that I expect to win because this team is playing with the opportunity to win. We just got to finish those games. You know, if we hold on to the ball, I think we all feel very comfortable. We have an opportunity to win the game. 2 weeks ago, we make a few field goals in everybody's opinion. We have an opportunity to win that game. We hold a 20-2 lead and just do anything. We have an opportunity to win that game. So I know a lot of people look at our football team with a lot of young players and a lot of injuries. Well, to me, I want to give them a little credit because they're fighting their tails off. And I think our coaches are coaching their tails off, too. Contrary to what everybody believes, we're not rolling over and saying uncle and just walking out there and saying we're not going to play. We're playing our tails off to win, and that's all we're interested in.
Those kind of players without that experience make those kind of mistakes.
Absolutely they do, but that's why we coach. That's why they call me coach, and that's why we call our coaches coach. We got to do a better job, and I'm not trying to be like everybody else, you know. I might look back at it when the year's over and feel differently and see things differently, but when you're in it, I don't look at it like that. I want us to be the best we can be, and that's my job, and that's our coach's job, and that's our player's job, to try to be the best we can be. And so we're going to keep chasing it, and we know we're going to make some mistakes. I get that. I do see those things, and I know a lot of that sometimes from youth, but we also have some veteran players making mistakes. So we got to correct them. We got to move forward. We got to keep playing, and we got to keep expecting to win football games.
Do you think the decision to cut Armonte when he's coming back off suspension, following up the benching of Evan Bailey, sends a message to the locker room?
I don't want to get into that. I think what's important, he's not on our team right now. We moved on, and we wish him well.
I guess it's part of the changing of the culture. Do you think, you mentioned foolishness yesterday, we're not going to accept that. How important is that when you're trying to change a culture?
I think, you know, again, I don't want to direct it at just one person. I think we're laying the right foundation here, and I think it's important to do it the right way. And we have a standard that we want to hold our players to, our organization to, coaches, players, everybody. And so we have an expectation, and that's the direction we're going in. And it's not just directed at Armonte or anybody. I just think that's the way Sashi, myself, Jimmy, and Dee see this as we move forward. And so that's the way we're going to conduct it.
How did Cody Kessler grow from week one to week two?
I think he did some good things. I think his poise was better. He obviously started the game better this week than he did last week. I think that's improvement. I think Cody has made some plays. You know, the touchdown pass to Terrell is a thing of beauty. You know, some third downs last week that we didn't convert as well. He did a great job of converting them, standing in there and throwing the ball. So I thought there was clear improvement from week one to week two. You know, now we got to do it again. You know, that's the challenge. You know, you got to keep getting better each and every week, and we got to keep growing. He did an outstanding job. I was extremely happy and pleased with his play. You know, he battled. I mean, he, you know, gave us an opportunity to run the ball extremely well, did a great job in directing protections and doing those things. So, you know, it was unfortunate he got hurt because I think he was doing some really good things as a young player that we went and found and put on our football team. So hopefully he can get healthy and get back. Not fun at all. I mean, I know Tom, known Tom for a long time, had a chance to, trying to get him to Cal Berkeley a long time ago when I was there. So we have a little history, and he's a tremendous football player and competitor, and he'll be chomping at the bit. He hasn't had his passion, which is football, other than his family and his life over the last 4 weeks. So he'll come back ready to play. No question about that. Isn't that something special? Wow, the guy walked off, but he's been here. You know, he knows our system, walked off, you know, met us in D.C., and went out and got two sacks and had two huge plays in the game. So hopefully what he shows is that we know how to put players in position to have success, and he did, you know. But, again, we've been plugging and playing since we started this thing. And, again, I want to give my staff a lot of credit because I think they're doing a heck of a job, maybe not the job that – everybody wants or expects, but I think my staff is working tirelessly, trying to do anything and everything we can to help our players be the best they can be. And I think our players are giving themselves and trying to give everything they have. So it's twofold, but we know we got to keep working at it. Anything interesting? No, I mean, he made a decision to stay in Michigan, you know, where I was at Cal at the time, and that's kind of close to home for him. And we thought we were going to shoo him over there, myself and Coach Mariucci, and he ended up staying at Michigan. And obviously his story is one of the greatest ever told. But what a tremendous competitor and quarterback.
When Robert went on IR, you know, the team announced it would be 3 or 4 weeks for reevaluation. Is that this week?
Yeah, I think we'll take it, get a chance to look and see exactly where he is as well. I don't have that right off the top of my head.
And then is the expectation for that appointment or whatever to determine if he needs surgery?
I don't know if it be, you know, that will just determine if he needs surgery. I think it's more to see exactly where he is and exactly what the diagnosis will be after that. I mean, I don't think it's, it could be, you know, maybe he needs surgery, but also could be maybe just still need a little bit more rest. So I think it will be determined after they really look at it and kind of go from there. All right. Thank you.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson confirming the news on Austin Ryder. He will be out. John Greco slides back into center as of now. And Alvin Bailey to right guard. I would expect, since they added a center last time, for them to scour again and get, you know, if Austin Ryder was number one on their list, find out whoever number two was, and they're going to try to go get that guy to come in here because I think it's good to have a true center on the team.
It is.
In case they need to.
It really is, and I think that, you know, you got to love Hugh Jackson and the effort he's getting out of these players as you hear him continually, you know, talk about the effort that he's getting out of his coaches and players as well. And he's brutally honest. You know, there are things that he needs to do better. I think after yesterday's football game, he put too much on himself, whereas today, you know, he watched the film and it wasn't so critical of not only himself but the players who, as he says, are paid professionals, need to make the plays. And I think at some point, and that's maybe not necessarily this year, and I've said it before, maybe next year when you get another double-digit, you know, draft class, and 2018, when Hugh Jackson and who he is as a person now, when the getting is not good, when it finally is good, and you've got playmakers making plays time and time and time again, and you're winning your division and you're winning consistently, I don't expect Hugh Jackson to waver as a winner and he's definitely not wavered thus far, you know, through four football games being 0-4.
Yeah, he hasn't. I think that he's surprised at where they are, and I think we're all kind of surprised, given that there was points within all three of the last games where you were thought they were winning the game. Pretty certain of it. I mean, Jim Donovan hit the nail on the head. That place was loud, and then all of a sudden the Browns silenced that crowd. They took them completely out of the game at FedEx Field, and they were sitting there, and Baldinger said the same thing. They were sitting there waiting for the Browns to go ahead and win this game, and unfortunately they did not do that. We'll get more into the game because we really weren't able to get in there too deep, and we'll kind of look at all the different position groups tomorrow and what stood out to us. But Tuesday we'll have Andrew Gribble, we'll have John Costco from Pro Football Focus, who will go inside the numbers with us. But this is a team right now that you're looking for foundations, and I'll go through it tomorrow with John, but you have guys that are at the top of the Pro Football Focus grades on a lot of different positions: left guard, left tackle, wide receiver, running back, defensive tackle Danny Shelton, defensive end Stephen Paya, linebacker Christian Kirksey. So there are a lot of guys that are really kind of stepping up for this football team, and you're starting to find some of those young pieces. And unfortunately, it's not enough. It's a winning business, and the Browns have not done that yet, the only team in the NFL, but hopefully that will change soon, although it's going to be tough to go against the New England Patriots, but we'll see.
And then on the road for two in a row. Then you're back on the road.
Back on the road, Tennessee, Cincinnati, before you come home for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Maybe he'll stay in that interception funk long enough to get here to the Browns. Want to thank Brian Baldinger for being with us, Jim Donovan for our producer, Matt Fontana, and, of course, Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.